exciting week. I was in court all day Friday. I got to do that Perry Mason stuff and put my hand up. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God. And, you know, even though I haven't been a criminal for like 30, 32 years, you know, when you're in court, all I know is the people with the guns and the badges got the power to take you and put you in jail. And I always forget that I'm on this side now, so it's a little nerve-wracking. And for the other girl that was a witness, our sister Lori, now she's been, hasn't got the 30-year testimony, but a few years ago, she was a little more nervous than me. I've never seen somebody with the prayer book in the court praying back there because she was going to be the next witness. And I said, Lori, what were you doing back there? And she said, well, I wasn't thinking about what I had to say. I was praying those prayers in that prayer book because the last time I was here, they tucked me somewhere that I didn't want to be for a few years. But I thank God that he got us through that ordeal and everything is going the way God wants it to be. And in the last few weeks, I've had like some things go on where somebody came to me and said, well, this and this is happening with this person and this and this and this. And I, you know, I just said, well, you know, and whatever you do, don't tell that person I said this. And then, you know, but I mean, sometimes if you're friends with two people and you're trying to get to the root of a problem, you have to go to the other person because you can beat around the bush about it. But you can't take one side of a story and then try to weigh it out and get to judgment. But this is where I got the first verse that I'm going to use from in Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 19. And not too long ago, I quoted three of the things from this verse, you know, and I just, at that time, I said, these three things God hates, a proud look, a lying tongue, and those that would sow discord among the brethren. But, you know, as I studied this out today, I just took the three things that God told me to speak that day. It says, these six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. In 30 years of coming to church here, I've watched Pastor Angelo deal with people that want to try to sow discord between the brethren. So, you know, after another week or so, I talked to the person, and really, I didn't even share what this person was saying about this person. You know, I just kept it to myself, and I prayed, and I talked to the Lord about it. But there came a point where this person was trying to, she thought that, you know, because of what she said, she was in a place where she could come in and sow some more problems and sow some more stuff. But I talked to the person and I said, you know, when this person said something about you, I never brought that to you. And I said, I'm not going to let her, you know, do anything that she's not supposed to do. And the person, then I had to share some things just so she could get to a place. And the other time God had me use this, I thought it was a very truthful and divisive thing. But, you know, sometimes we sow discord among the brethren, and we don't even know we're doing it. By somebody that's going to say, well, I don't like the way that preacher does this. I don't like that preacher said something and hurt my feelings. Or that dude Sam, man, in that church, he's the biggest jerk I know at work. Right, Paul? No. I don't know who'd be saying that, but not me and you, but... But anyway, and if you become part of that and just agree, I mean, you know what? If somebody says something about Brother Angelo, they're saying something about me. If somebody says something about my church or my family, they're saying something about me. I mean, sometimes in our life, we're going to have to stick up for God and stick up for what's right. And I'm going to bring this up. While I was in court the other day, we had to sit outside this waiting room with about 50 people, 40 people. Some of the fam was there. I seen some people's baby daddies in there going up. I seen some ex-members of the church that came in and went out pretty quick because, you know, they didn't hang. But there they were in court, you know. You're going to hang one place or the other place. You're going to learn to hang with Jesus and do what God's called you to do. Or you're going to stay in that miserable situation and wind up back in jail, wind up back in some problems. But you're going to wind up somewhere just like the song says. Everybody's serving somebody. Some of us are serving Jesus, and some of us are serving Satan. But everybody's serving somebody, and I'd rather be serving Jesus on the winning side. Amen? in Isaiah 1, 18, 19. I'm going to go to the flip side. But the other side of this thing was like when I was talking with the person that the other person was bringing bad things up. You know, I wanted to reason it out why that person shouldn't become, she shouldn't get all hurt, that she's no longer part of her life. Because sometimes God takes swords and he divides people because somebody's not going the right way that God wants them to go. Sometimes there's people in our life that's not going in the direction God wants you to go. And then God can take a little sword or something, because anything the devil does, God can turn it around for our good. And he removes them for a season. And then once you investigate and find out the truth, that this person wasn't doing exactly what she said anyway. And the things that she was saying was lies to try to devise separation between the God people, between the good people that are trying to do right. But now, this is what the bottom line is. Come now. This is God talking to all of us right now. Come now. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be like crimson, they shall be as wool. You know, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Let's stop there for a minute. If you be willing and obedient to just do what God's called you to do, and God hasn't called me to be a divider among people. God's called me to call people together and bring people together and cover people's sins as much as I can. If you're my brother or my sister, I'm not here to judge anybody. But I was sitting in that courtroom the other day looking around at all those people. And a few weeks ago, I got a letter saying, Mr. McElhaney, we need you to do jury duty. The last thing I really wanted to do was jury duty. Now, fortunately, I think I've been a model citizen for 30 years. But before I was a model citizen, I got something called a felony before I moved to Arkansas. And I stood before a judge. You ever hear the song, Flip Wilson, Here Comes the Judge? The last time I stood before a judge, he said, Mr. McElhaney, if you come before me one more time for anything violating this probation, I will send you to an Illinois state penitentiary for 8 years for this whole sentence that I'm giving you probation for. And, you know, the judge had a name like, you know, it was a hard nose something. You know, he had a name for doing what he said. I did not leave that courtroom thinking he was just joking with me. I left that courtroom making plans to come to Arkansas to get saved is what I did. I mean, I didn't do that the next day, but within about 6 months, I was on a bus coming to Arkansas because I believed what that judge said. And I believe what God says right here. He just wants us to reason together. He wants to make us white as snow. You know, if we'll be willing and obedient. 30 years ago when I became born again and gave my life to Christ, I didn't come willing and obedient overnight, but I started doing things differently, one decision at a time, one day at a time. But I knew that every Sunday I needed to be in church. I knew that I needed, if I made $15, I needed to give $1.50 of it to tithes to God. I knew right then and there that there were some things that God was expecting of me. I wasn't asking questions about it. That I already knew. Now, sometimes people don't know what God's expecting of them, but that's why he gave us the Bible. And as much as you'll do, you'll be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Now, I've been eating the good of the land for a long time. And sometimes I'm not always willing and obedient. Sometimes it takes a while. I notice with me, God will tell me to do something, and sometimes I'm not saying no. I'm just waiting for the right opportunity. But when God tells me to do something, if I do it, I come out on top every time. A couple of times this week, I felt like some things were coming against me that weren't going to work. So Pastor Kelly's message this morning was on prayer and standing on the Word of God in Isaiah 54:17. The Bible says that no weapon formed against me, formed against you, shall prosper. And all those that rise up against us, we shall condemn with our own tongue, for this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. God's given us a heritage as Christians to speak this word. You know, in Genesis, when God was making man, he said, let us make man in our image. Let us make man and woman in our image. We can speak. just like God. We can speak. He told Adam to name all of the beasts, fields of the beasts, all of them, Adam gave a name. Man, he's given us a name as a child of God. He's given us the name of Jesus Christ. That whatsoever we ask in his name, he'll answer us. And we'll just ask. Sometimes we're sitting there, God already knows what we need before we ask. But if you got somebody, if I went to ask Brother Angelo, hey, could you help me out? Can I borrow a couple bucks, blah, blah, blah? I have to ask him. I'm not going to expect him to come up to me and say, Sam, you know, but God, he knows, but he wants us to ask. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. I quoted Isaiah 54:17. I'm going to read the verse 20 of Isaiah. But if you refuse and rebel, you don't want to come to God and just work things out. You refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Sometimes we're devoured by poverty. Sometimes we're devoured by depression. Sometimes we're devoured by defeat. If you're not doing what God tells you to do, then the enemy has a right to come and steal, kill, and destroy. But if you're trying to do what God tells you to do, God puts a hedge of protection around you. Buddy, can I get Isaiah 54:17? And we just read that, but I just wanted it to be up there. No weapon. That's everybody say, no weapon. No enemy, no poverty, no sickness, no disease shall prosper. And every tongue, people that know you, people that don't know you, people that say they know you, no tongue. And who's condemning them? Us, by us praying. Stand on this word right here. Every day I'm quoting this verse before I leave my house. Isaiah 41, verse 10. And Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not. Most of the time when something troubles me, there's a fear comes that something's not going to work out. There's a fear. I mean, fear tried to come the other day when I was in court. I mean, you got lawyers asking you questions, you know. Well, this and this and this, we're just trying to lock this lady in her house, this and this and this, and they flip some things around. You just, man, fear. If you get fearful, you'll just stumble and mutter. No, this lady was free to go wherever she went. You want me to show you pictures of the little car she was driving in on Labor Day? Driving down the street in the little Barbie car? She wasn't locked up that day. I mean, I don't know, you know, but fear will steal from you. Being afraid will make you afraid to go in and get the great job with great benefits that God has for you. Being afraid will make you lock yourself in and think that everything is going to fall apart when the greatest blessings of the Most High God are just about to come in your life. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and of a sound mind. Fear comes against your mind, and if you just keep dwelling on fear, man, there'll be taking me away somewhere to hang out and want to medicate me or something. But Isaiah 41, verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. And if God's with you, he's with you. God loves you. He died for you. All you got to do is talk to him, a personal relationship. There's a sense of peace that I get in my heart when I hear God. And then when I obey and do what God tells me, there's another sense of peace and direction that comes. And every day, there's a direction that comes. I remember one time I got a guy a job at Walmart. He was only in church for maybe a couple months. And I don't remember his name, but he wasn't the brightest light bulb in the world. He got the job at Walmart. One day, he stopped at Brother Angelo's house. He hadn't worked there for 2 weeks. I did not get that $50 bonus, you know, for him making the 90 days. And he told Brother Angelo, I was hearing voices in my head that told me not to go to work. And I know something bad's going to happen over there. And I thought, my gosh, you know, yeah, maybe something bad. He had to stack some groceries on them pallets like them other guys that were over there. But, you know, the devil will mess with your head and steal, kill, and destroy. But God comes into your heart. He don't come into your head. Your heart is where Jesus comes into, your spirit. And then your spirit, you have to control with this word. You have to speak out, I'm blessed, I'm healed, I'm delivered. Amen? Fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. Don't be confused, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you. Yeah, I will help you. I will uphold you with my right hand and my righteousness. You know, Sam McElhaney don't stand on his own. Every day when Sam McElhaney leaves, he's holding God's hand, and he's trying to hear what God's telling him to do, where God's telling me to work, where God's telling me to sow, who God's telling me to pray for, who God's telling me to help. Sometimes I get it. Sometimes I mess it. But the next day I get up and say, God, help me to get it right today. Help me to hit 100%. You know, when a baseball player gets up, sometimes he strikes out. He doesn't go and quit and say, I'm going to go play volleyball. He gets back up the next time and he tries to hit a home run. So just being a Christian, you're not going to hit a home run every time. But if you'll try, you'll hit a home run once in a while. And if you'll really try, you'll witness to somebody and lay hands on somebody and pray. My brother back there in the red shirt, last week he was telling me about scoliosis in his back. And I put my hands on him and I prayed the best prayer I could for him. I went to the store goofing around later on, and this girl was hurting, and she said she has, say that word? Said that she had that real bad and it was acting up. Well, you know, in my mind, I didn't want to just pray for her. I don't know this girl. She's young, 27. But then, like, I felt that little power right here, and I thought, if I don't do this now and mess up, I said, can I say a prayer for you? You believe in prayer? She said, yeah. I took her by the hand, and I prayed. I seen her last night, and I asked her how her back was. She said her back hasn't hurt in 10 days. After that prayer, when I prayed for her, that same little power I felt, I didn't feel it flow like electricity, just a little nudge right here. And I seen when I said that prayer, tears went into her eyes. And I believe when that happened, she got something from God. Not because I'm somebody special, just because I'm a dumb enough guy to do what God says to do when he says to do it. And if I'll be smart enough to do it all the time when he says to do it, I'll be even more successful in my Christianity and my walk with God. As Brother Angelo and Pastor Kelly have said for years, I don't do these things because I'm a minister. I do these things because I'm a son of the living God. And we're sons and daughters of the living God. From the moment we accept Christ, God's come into our life, and he's trying to give us a better life. From the time that we accept Christ, even if we mess up and hook up with the wrong person, even if we mess up and marry the wrong person, God still loves us, and he's still with us, and he's there through all the thick and thin to take his city in. Amen? God can do anything. Matthew 7:7. God can do anything. God can do anything. God can do anything. But you got to ask to receive. You got to seek to find. You got to knock and it shall be opened. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. You know, nothing's just going to come to you. You're not going to get a paycheck if you don't go to work. You're not going to get a degree if you don't go to college or go to school to try to get it. You're not going to get anything unless you do something first. And you're not going to get nothing from God unless you start asking. And God already knows. He already knows what you need. He already knows if you're supposed to be a nurse. He already knows if you're supposed to be a musician. He already knows a plan. It says he has a plan for our life, and it's good and not evil. So all we got to do is ask, and we'll receive. Amen? Hebrews 11:1-6. One through six would be all right. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is inside everybody. God gives everybody a measure of faith. And you can go to six from there. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So God spoke, said, let there be light. So if you're having a financial issue, you might need to stand on that one verse, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. If you're having a problem in your body with sickness, by his stripes I am healed. And you need to be looking these verses up and finding them. If you're having a fear problem, God, you have not given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and of a sound mind. If you're having a little crazy problem, hey, God, you ain't giving me a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. And, you know, hit your mind a couple of times and line it back up with the Word of God. Amen? But God spoke the things that weren't there, and he spoke, and they came framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts by he being dead yet speaks. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6 is really the highlight, 1 and 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, I've come to God, you know. I've been praying about getting a new vehicle, and I've been praying about a new vehicle for probably a year now. And I lean towards a new Subaru because I like Subarus. And, you know, but then I'm thinking, like, well, if I get a Subaru and my wife don't get a Subaru, she's going to cry and she's going to want to drive my new Subaru. So I'm trying to figure out how to get two new Subarus. But I'm going to pray some longer. I'm going to pray longer. I'm going to pray until God gives me a peace. And you know what? I'm really trying to be able to pay for one of those cars totally. Now, I ain't got that money in the bank yet, so I'm not going to go do it tomorrow. But if I keep believing God and keep confessing God that I'm going to take what I got and trade it in and come up with two new cars, I believe maybe by next year in January or February that could come to pass. And, you know, if not, I'm not going to get mad, but I'm believing God. I've never confessed this out. I told one person that I was going to do this, and I haven't even told my wife because she'll be telling me every day, are we going to go get a new car? Are we going to go get a new car? Are we going to go get a new car? So we don't say nothing, you know. When we go to do that, it'll be when God says to do it. But by faith, and everything that you're going to get in life is going to have to be by faith. By faith, I believed God for a job at Chloe's. By faith, I came here and was living with my sister and believed God for a rent house. By faith, and three real estate tests that I finally passed, I believed God for a real estate license. And nothing is going to be easy, but you got to just get it by faith. But you got to get up and wash your face, because every day that I've ever won real big in real estate, every day I've ever sold a really big deal, I got up and I was so depressed and I was so negative, and the devil was attacking me so bad that I wanted to just lay down and go back and cry and go to sleep. But I got up because I heard God say, get up, go to the real estate office. And I was going through divorces or something at the time, and I went and washed my face and brushed my teeth and went and sold and had some of the best real estate transactions ever, some of the best friendships ever. And every time I ever just do what God says, I always come out on top. Amen? And Revelations 12:11, and everybody was testifying, they just did Revelations 12:11, and they overcame them by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto death. You know, at some point in your life, you're going to have faith to stand up and say, God is helping me make it today. God is the one that gave me the shoes on my feet today. God is the one that gave me the groceries that I'm eating today. God is the one that's filling my gas tank, no matter how much it costs a gallon. God is the one that's taking care of me. God is the one that's protecting my children and keeping them back from evil. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again, Isaiah 1:18-19. And we know 1 John 3:8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, to destroy the works of the devil. That's part C of that verse. But for this purpose, and Jesus comes into your life, and you receive him, you bow down and you say, Christ, forgive me for my sins, come into my heart, change my life. I like my words a little better. God, I don't even have enough for a 40-ounce quart of beer. Forgive me for my sins. Here's my life. If you can do something with it, please take it and do something with it. Because I honestly felt that my life wasn't worth nothing. And if you're like an alcoholic and you don't got enough for a 40-ounce, that's pretty bad. But when I prayed that prayer and Christ came into my life and I got up and I went out and I went home to my sister's house in the lower end house over here, and went to sleep for 12 hours and didn't drink and didn't take any pills and woke up, I knew that for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested in my life to do what I'm doing today. And I'm going to read the last verse. Come now. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. So maybe life is not really that good for you right now. Maybe things are going not as good as you want them to do. But you know, at some point, you may have dedicated your life to Christ. At some point, you may have thought like, man, God, help me here. But at this point right now, God's wanting to know. He says, come now, let's reason together. Even if your sins are forgiven, let's reason together. Let's make your life better. Let's make your life white as snow. Though they be like crimson, they shall be as wool. So if you'll receive Christ and put your situation in Christ's hands today, and you'll be willing and obedient, you'll be eating the good of the land the rest of your days. That don't mean there won't be problems, but that means God will be with you to help you with every problem. I'm going to turn this over to Pastor Kelly. Very good.